the steps that we are taking. Remember, we talked about studying, we talked about tithing, and realized about giving, and all of the things that we are doing in order to have a closer relationship with God. I mean, because that's what we want, right? That's what this means. That's what we want. Take steps to get closer to me so that I can have that battery in case I need it. We want to have this closer walk with God, right? That's what we want, isn't it? Amen. We want to have a closer relationship with God. We don't want to just go through with this rule-based kind of religion. And that's not what God wants either. He wants us to have a relationship with Him. And so we're taking these steps. And this morning, we're going to talk about another step. We're going to start, and it's kind of, for lack of a better term, it's the E word. A word that we're not real comfortable with. Maybe something that we like less than giving. And that's evangelism. I have a cartoon that I think sums it up. And it's this, we think about it like this. A guy sitting at a bus stop. "Let's talk about Jesus," his shirt says. And as the guy next to him is looking at him, "What do you got there?" "Well, it promises me, it guarantees me a seat all to myself." That's how we think about it, isn't it? I mean, what do you not talk about in at dinner parties and events? I mean, what do we not talk about? Religion? Remember last week, we don't talk about money either. I mean, you know, when I said we're going to have what if we had a list of what we give? We're not. That list isn't out there. But we don't talk about money. And we don't talk about religion. We don't talk about politics. Well, you can kind of talk about politics a little bit. People would rather talk about that than religion. But why is it that way? Why do we feel like "let's talk about Jesus" is a surefire way to get to sit all by ourselves on the bus? Here's a better question. Why is it that shirt guarantees you that spot? That's a better question. Why do people not want to hear about Jesus? Maybe it's because the church, and I'm all about blaming us. It's not about them out there. It's not about, what the pagans or this or that. Let's keep it all in house, because there's a reason that "let's talk about Jesus" guarantees me a wide path. Maybe we've been going about it all wrong. Maybe our approach needs to be amended. Maybe there's a better way. Not to say that other ways are wrong, but let's face it, the church is facing an epidemic, and it's not a good one. It's not an epidemic of growth. It's an epidemic of loss. It's an epidemic of shrinking, of becoming less and less relevant, becoming less and less of a factor. I mean, it's not hard to pick up the newspaper or to listen to the news, or even just look at cultural standards and realize that we are moving further and further away from being a Christian nation. That's the facts. So whatever it is that we're doing is not working. It's not. The church is growing in communist countries. The church is growing in China faster than it's growing in America. The church is growing in Africa faster than it's growing here. And it's a simple fact that the church is not growing here. The church is shrinking. The effective body of Christ in our community gets smaller every day. So we have to do something about that. and t-shirts are not the answer. There's a change that needs to take place. I was at a conference yesterday, and it's a TEDx conference. And what that is these TED talks, these TED conferences are held all over the world, and a TEDx conference is an independently put together community conference where they have speakers from all kinds of fields and all kinds of walks of life and all kinds of disciplines come in and talk. I mean, we had guys from all the way from, you know, medical engineering companies, startups, to this one guy who was just in love with Star Wars and talked about building an R2-D2 robot. And it was fascinating. And so I was there all day yesterday from about 10 to 5 and just listened to about 15 or so different talks. And it was fascinating. And the commissioner or the head of education was there, Hoffman, something like that, he was there and he was talking about how, education in Tennessee, a few years ago, we were 44th in the country in education. And that's on the bad half. And so after all of this stuff that was going on and everything, we got all the way up to 36th. And he said, listen, and he's not a very popular guy, I don't know why. I'm sure there's a very good reason for that. But he did say one thing that I thought was spot on. That if we want education in Tennessee to be better, nobody wants to hear the answer to that. Nobody wants to hear, and I agree with him. We don't, because he told me what the answer is, and I was like, well, yeah, I don't want to hear that. And it's the same thing for the church. If we want the church to grow, if we want to evangelize and to build the church of Jesus Christ, there's the answer is simple, but we don't want to hear it. Because for education to get better in Tennessee, two things have to happen. Adults have to work harder. And kids have to work harder. That's it. Now, we can argue about the curriculum and the approach and all that, and believe me, I don't know enough to even comment on. But whatever approach we take, parents, teachers, whoever are involved in education are going to have to work harder. The educators are giving me the nod. Okay. No, parents don't need to work harder. Yeah, parent. Okay, all right. Yeah, she's like, I'm working as hard as I can. Can you do more? That's right. Parents got to work harder. You know who else got to work harder? The kids are going to have to work harder. Now, some of them are working really hard, but by and large, they're going to have to work harder. If we want this to work, we're going to have to work harder. We're going to have to do something more than we're already doing. We're going to have to work better. In Romans chapter 9, 1 through 5, we read the key to this. Eli read this, and Paul has given us this window into what it's going to take. If we want to take a step closer to God, if we want to walk closer to God, and we want to experience this. And I'm not going to spend hardly any time talking about the command of this, because Jesus said, do this. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach and teach and baptize and make more Christians. That's the whole point of the church, is to glorify God by growing and you don't worry, you're not going to be defeated, because I'm going to build my church on the rock of my messiahship, and hell is not going to be able to stand up against it. So the command is there, the power is there. So now all we're left with is, how do we do this? Well, Paul says, this is what it's going to take. And he's talking about evangelizing Jews at the time. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about taking the gospel to his Jewish brethren who were rejecting it. And the whole premise of this, of Romans 9, 1 through 5, is that evangelism starts with a broken heart. That's what Paul is saying. He's saying, look, I am sad. I'm full of sorrow over the reality of my brothers and sisters who don't get this, who don't know the gospel. It breaks my heart. My question is, does today, 2,000 years later, does that break our heart? Are we like Christ in the, I mean, over and over and over again throughout his ministry, Jesus had this longing for people to know God. And if we claim to be Christians, then our heart has to break for the lost and dying outside of Christ. It isn't about singing passionately, although that's great. It isn't about, you know, praying, you know, just on our knees and thanking God for all of the blessings. It isn't about, you know, just being grateful for everything that we have. And it's not about, you know, not looking on someone lustfully or not stealing or not lying. It's about being a kind of person whose heart breaks for the lost. Everything else. Just getting us into a better position to understand what God wants. Does our heart break for the lost? And it isn't a sadness like a depression. It's a motivation based on discomfort for the way things ought to be. And again, it has nothing to do with you know, politics or morals or standards or this. It's just there are those who know Christ and there are those who don't. And until the church gets focused on having a broken heart over those who don't, our evangelism efforts will yield exactly what they are yielding, and that is zero. Because we're not going to picket people into the gospel. We're not going to stand up for what is right, people into the gospel. We are going to have broken hearts towards people. That's where it starts. We can stand up for what is right all day long. Boycott this, picket that, vote in this direction, all of that. Nothing's going to change until our hearts break over the lost. Because then we'll start evangelizing. Evangelism starts with a broken heart. Evangelism continues with a longing for conversion. See, we're headed somewhere with this. Once our heart is, now let me just say this, because I'm not saying that living the way God wants us to live is unimportant. Stay with me. I'm just talking about reaching people. How do we reach people? And it's not reach out and touch someone with the gospel. It's reaching people. Because it doesn't matter what our morals are, what our decisions are, what our ethics and theology, that doesn't matter at all to people lost outside of Christ. It doesn't. What matters is first having our hearts broken in their behalf, longing for conversion, reaching out for a purpose. Jesus said to the apostles when they came to him and said, there are people out there driving out demons and healing people, and they weren't one of the apostles. And the apostles said, hey, should we stop them? And he says, no, don't stop them. If people are for us, then they're not against us. So that's okay. And he said, at the end of that passage, he said something very, very interesting. He said, if anybody offers a glass of water in my name, well, they're one of us. What we do for people needs to be in the name of Jesus, for the glory of God. Because there are people all over the world doing benevolent acts, but until we reach out with this longing for conversion to tell people, I am doing this for the glory of God. Yesterday at that conference, I was standing in line to buy a $3.50 diet Dr. Pepper. This is what you do. And I was standing there, and I met this guy behind me, and really interesting guy. And this was one of these events. I was telling Vic, you can cut the pretentiousness with a knife. People are walking around, well, I'm more innovative than you are. Oh, well, I think way outside the box. What box are you talking about? I don't even know there is a box. Oh, my goodness. So I'm talking to this guy, and he's fascinating, and he, you know, had his just It was like, and talking to the people next to me was like trying to order lunch at a Mexican restaurant speaking Chinese. It just, they didn't get me. I didn't get them, but hey, all right. So I'm standing there about to get my drink, and this guy's got his drink, and he's getting the Fanta orange, and it just hit me, you know. Wednesday was payday. Vic just got paid. You know, hey, I got money. So I'm like, I'm getting this guy's drink right here too. He looked at me weird. I said, hey, enjoy that. In the name of Jesus, I'm buying that for you. And it felt weird. Sounded weird coming out of my mouth. It hit his ears weird, I could tell, because he looked at me like a dog after it hears like a real high-pitched noise. Whoop. But I just wanted him to know the only reason I was buying his Fanta orange for him was because I wanted him to know that Jesus loved him. And that was my way of, here's your cold water in the name of Christ. Because people do benevolent things all the time, and it's in their name, or because they're nice people, or because we're paying it forward, or the universe, whatever. But I want him to know it's because of Jesus. It's because of Jesus that I'm doing this. Because I want you to know the Lord. If you don't already, here's a seed. I believe in the Word of God. And Paul said that some plant the seed. That was a seed. Maybe somebody will come along and water it. I believe in the providence, the sovereignty of God. And so there's somebody that's going to come into that guy's life and water that somewhere if they are willing, like Esther, to take that opportunity. But do we have a longing for conversion so that we will speak on behalf of Jesus? Not just speak, because plenty of people speak. I mean, the Red Cross gets people to donate blood. Do we do that in the name of Jesus, or just because we're good citizens? So there's a difference. There's a big difference. Because one, just being good, another defines our life. Is it about the glory of God? Evangelism continues with a longing for conversion. And the last thing, evangelism succeeds when relationships are built. Evangelism succeeds when relationships are built. That's what Paul is working on. When you go through all of the letters that Paul writes, whether it's in Ephesians or Philippians, all of these evangelistic centers that Paul goes to. I mean, Ephesus is a major trade city. Paul made it an evangelism hub for 3 years. When you read through the letter that he writes to them later, it's got relationship written all over it. He says, I love you people. It was more than just a message to you. It is me giving you my life, offering you my friendship so that we can have a relationship, so that you can see Christ in me, and then I later can see Christ in you. The Philippians, he says, he opens that book with, I thank my God every time I remember you. Evangelism isn't a mass marketing campaign. It's a relationship endeavor. The question is, are we willing to put our relationships in the will of God? If you go to a school every day where you teach or you administrate, are you willing to take those relationships that you have and put them in the will of God? If you go to a business where you sit in a desk and talk to other people, or maybe you go out and you call on customers or whatever, or maybe you just, you know, as you go through life, are we willing to put those relationships in the will of God? Because it isn't about this mass marketing thing. It's about a community. It's about relationships that are formed so that we can hold one another accountable, so that we can worship together, we can commune together. So as I wrap this up, as I close this lesson this morning, my question is, will we form relationships with people for the express purpose of glorifying God? Will our friendships be about getting the gospel message into those lives? Will our associations be about getting the gospel message of Jesus Christ into those lives? Because once that happens, then the morality of a country just sort of takes care of itself. Once those things happen, then the direction of a community just sort of takes care of itself. Will our hearts be broken in that direction for the specific purpose of glorifying God and forming relationships that matter, that change lives, that ultimately fulfill the desire of God? Because when Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, he wasn't giving us a command to be followed. He was giving us a lifestyle. He was giving us a lifestyle. Charlie's going to come up and he's going to lead us in an invitation song. And this morning, the invitation is simply this. Do you want to experience God in a way that is unlike anything you've ever experienced Him? Because anybody can just live a regular, go to work, come home, pay my taxes. Anybody can just live a regular life. But when we follow God, he's one to lead us on an adventure that is so outside of the ordinary, outside of anything that we could ever experience on our own. And a lot of times that's a scary thing for us. But if you want to experience that, take him up on his offer to be with you as you go into all the world and tell people the loving message of his gospel. Whatever your need is this morning, if you want to be prayed with, prayed for over your own desire, your own heart to be broken for the lost, you can come forward. We can pray about those things. We can have this entire body of believers pray with you. If you want to start that journey this morning, if you want to confess Christ and be baptized and to start to live that lifestyle that Christ is calling us to live, you can do so as together we stand and as we sing.